5 days ago, the waters came to northeast Japan, and in many places carved away everything.
Everything has turned upside down. After the tsunami, our house was gone. We lost everything. I was desperate to save my grandchildren. Here in the shelter, everyone is helping each other.
This man was not identified by name on NHK television, except to say he's a victim. From the town of Kensennuma, one of the places along the northeast coast of Japan, obscure and unfamiliar to outsiders, even in the best of times. Now, in the worst of times, many of those places are simply gone.
I wish I had a picture of what it used to look like as a beautiful, healthy town. It was probably the most devastating thing I've ever seen. And, you know, I didn't lose my home. I didn't possibly lose a family member.
American Cannon Purdy moved from San Francisco to the city of Minami-San-Ryuku. It's a place described as a peaceful, sheltered cove overlooking the sea. This morning, it's described as a silent tomb by one journalist who reported that 8,000 people in just this town are believed to have been simply swept away by the tsunami. 8,000 vanished.
The tsunami swept away my car, and my house was burned down by the fire afterwards. My sons must be very worried about me. The phone lines are bad, and I could only send out one text message. I just want to let my family know that I'm alive and I'm staying here.
Here, the earth is moving because of man-made efforts, the somber landscaping of recovery, yesterday in the town of Ofunato.
It's impressive. It's amazing what has happened to this area. Overwhelming. You wonder how the locals, the local people who live here are to recover from it.
Joseph Nur is a rescue worker from Fairfax, Virginia. He's painstakingly constructing a grid amidst a debris field that stretches as far as the eye can see. With no landmarks, search and rescue teams must create them with GPS data and the leftover pieces of what was once here.
I'm worried about the aftershocks. There could be another earthquake. It could all happen again. As for radiation, I've been told it can come down with the rain. I'm really worried about that.
Speaking there, Manami Kamata from the city of Sendai, a city of 1 million, described as having small-town hospitality in a tourist guidebook. Today, it's a radiation hazard, with hundreds dead or missing. Other out-of-the-way coastal communities fared even worse in northeast Japan. Higashi Matsushima, described in a guidebook as a spectacular scenic monument to natural forces. This morning, a headline in a Tokyo newspaper calls it a seaside city covered in corpses.
BBC reporter Rachel Harvey filed this dispatch before nightfall from Ofunato, a coastal village.
It's early morning, and I'm in a village overlooking one of the devastated areas. Below me, it's just wreckage. Up here on the hillside, the houses are still standing. They don't seem to have been too badly affected by the earthquake, and they were high enough up to have avoided the tsunami. Having said that, there's still no electricity here, there's no telephones, and supplies of food and water are running low. I'm just going to wander around the village a bit and see if I can find out how the rest of the community here is coping. An emotional reunion. This is the first time these women have seen each other since the tsunami struck. They hug and exchange information in rapid bursts. Is so-and-so alive? Have you heard any news of this person or that person? They're standing outside the local village hall, which has been turned into a disaster coordination point. There are a couple of men here that are cutting into a big empty oil drum. And it looks like that oil drum is going to be used just over here on the other side of the road in what was a children's park. They've dug a big hole. It's a pit, really. They're putting fires underneath them, and the cut oil drums are being used as cooking stoves, really. And given that there's no power, as well as for cooking, I can see these fires becoming a bit of a focal point just for people to keep warm. It is bitterly cold today. The forecast is possibly for snow. An army jeep has just driven up and stopped outside the community centre, and there are a couple of soldiers who are unloading boxes of drinking water. And this is exactly what we've just been told is most needed here. The local men here help form a chain gang. The jeep has been unloaded and everything's already been moved inside the community centre. That was incredibly efficient. Inside the building, the supplies are being listed and stored by a group of women, including some survivors from the devastated valley below.
I have no home. It's not there anymore. It was completely washed away.
Did you have family or relatives? Are they safe?
My son was on a school trip to another town up the coast. I've heard that he's okay, but I haven't seen or been able to speak to him since the tsunami. He was so far away from me when it all happened. But he's alive and he's doing okay.
The thing that feels different here today is the presence of the military. The soldiers coming into the village, asking people what they need, delivering some supplies, and there have been far more military helicopters up in the air as well. So while in the most devastated areas, of course, the search for bodies goes on and clearing the debris, in places like this, the focus is very much on trying to look after those people who've survived. But even before the soldiers arrived, people had begun organising themselves, getting themselves into teams, getting systems in place, just doing everything they can to help each other get through this.
Voices of people trying to reconnect, rebuild, and move forward in Japan 5 days after the earthquake and tsunami. Events permanently etched in faces, hearts, and on the land. As of this morning, the death toll has surpassed 10,000.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.